Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Ramzan Kareem, where we have our guest that we've been reoccurring on our programmes, Dave. It's wonderful to have you back.
I think you did, but say it again, sounds good.
I know that it's been a difficult journey, and as you've said, there have been many things in the media that we could, when we look back with hindsight, we think that shouldn't have happened. Or this. Moving forward, what do you think is going to happen, and what are you going to be concentrating on?
Well, moving forward, I think one of the most important things is for the country is that, one, that we deal sensibly with Europe. They are still a very important part of our trading pattern.
Yes.
But more importantly, already countries are talking to us that weren't allowed to about doing a trade deal. We need to...
Why were they not allowed to? Is it because they weren't a member of the club?
They weren't a member of the European Union. And the European Union, you could only trade with another country if Europe had agreed something.
So the whole lot had to agree? All 28 Absolutely. Countries had to agree?
It had to be agreed, or you had to be given permission to actually talk to whoever it was.
So who can we talk to?
We can talk to everybody. More importantly, I think, and the thing that we must do, is we must reconnect with the Commonwealth. All of those countries across the world, some with huge populations. Look at India, Pakistan, look at Australia.
What about here in this country? Headlines say something, don't they? But I think sometimes they lead people into thinking something that perhaps just a thought in somebody's head on that 6 o'clock deadline that they have to get a story together.
Yes.
Let's face it, that's what journalists do as well.
Of course they do.
And we're all part of that. Some of the headlines that have come out that the people are concerned, there's going to be an uproar, issues around fascism, issues around sort of white supremacy, and that sort of
does that
thinking.
Really, I mean, we've never had that problem in this country. Even the far right at its height in the late 1930s with Oswald Mosley, it was a minority of a minority. The BNP frequently suddenly appears and then completely disappears. I think if you look at the countries of Europe, they may have a problem with these types of far-right parties, particularly in Eastern Europe, particularly what they call them, the new accession countries, on that old East border. I don't think they've got a problem here. I don't think we've even seen it during the election. I think Remain had large representations from what you would describe as the ethnic community, but then so did Leave. Both sides could see the positives, and I think going forward, that's what we should be looking for. Yes, there was a lot of negativity during the campaign from both sides. I feel obviously more from Remain, but that's it. The campaign is over. We now have a decision from the British people. They've decided that they want to be out of the EU. We have to get on with it. We have to decide what our future is. It's a big world out there, and we already know that the major markets in the world are going to be India, China, Southeast Asia, Asia as a whole. That's where we should be looking. Even President Obama suddenly found that we're no longer at the back of the queue and we should be at the front of the queue, and even he sees us as a very important partner. That's the sort of turnaround that shows that some of
the last thing I want to throw to you, last night I was looking across social media, looking at some of the headlines. The fact that it wasn't a majority vote, the fact that it was a slim... In terms of
yes, a couple of percent.
Yeah, a couple of percent, and it wasn't 60%. There is hearsay to say that there should be a second referendum for us to hit minimum.
Absolutely.
Or 60%. Are we going to have another one?
The referendum was always what they call advisory.
Advisory.
And talked about that from the outset.
There's no legal obligation.
Absolutely,
to follow it.
Parliament could change its mind. In other words, Parliament always had a majority insofar as staying in. If you look at the way that all of the MPs said that they would go,
we've had the advice. Then we can just say,
If they did that, I think there'd be unrest on the streets. I think there were lots of people. I found a very positive vote leave. People were very positive. They were voting leave because they wanted to. I've met a lot of people who voted remain who were doing it because. We're not really sure, but we think probably better to stay in.
I've heard of people yesterday morning, those that had voted to leave, then they were thinking, I've changed my mind because of what was happening, because of what was being said by Mr. Farage and other people, because now suddenly the money that they thought was going to come pumped it back into the NHS, because they were looking at border control, they thought about it. And after the climax of some such a big campaign, when people sit back, they're thinking, and to be honest, I heard from both sides, but overwhelmingly I heard from people who had voted to leave. Some of them were voters that had voted through the postal vote, because don't forget they voted
absolutely
some
days, a week or 10 days beforehand.
And the crucial climax in terms of the big debates happened in that last sort of leg, didn't it?
Yes.
So there is that. So what do you think? Just quickly, do you think we're going to have another referendum?
I think Remain would like to have another referendum. I'm not so sure that would be a good idea. And I think if they did, if they tried to go back again, I think the Brits as a whole tend to say, we've made a decision. We may not be absolutely 100% with it, but we've made a decision. And I think, personally, I think what's her name in Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon's making a big mistake. She's claiming that Scotland voted hugely. But if you actually look at it, it's only the central belt in Scotland that did. You go outside, a lot closer than she cares to agree.
When I looked at the map, we showed the map, and obviously Scotland was very strong, and it did make its mark in terms of saying yes. What it did. However, somebody made just an off-the-cuff remark and said, well, a lot of that's hills and mountains anyway. I mean, if you look at the size of it, so and how many actual numbers...
If you look at the belt of areas that lie below Glasgow and Edinburgh, and you look at the belt of the whole of the north of Scotland, it was very close. It was only what they call the Midlothians, sort of Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Just as a last note, David, I find absolutely refreshing is the fact that it is a true democracy in the sense of people are allowed to say what they want.
Yes.
And there is a vote. The vote has been casted. So that's refreshing. On the other flip side is how much of that will now be noted and where do we move on from here?
I think we need, as a people, as a united country, to be holding people to task, hold their feet to the flame to ensure that those promises that have been made are kept to. And more importantly, that money let's be honest, £8 billion, we need to decide what we're going to do with it. But we need to decide.
Mr Cameron made the decision, yes, let's see what the country wants and let's have this advisory referendum. It was a brave man, I think, on that.
I have to say, in my opinion, Cameron called the referendum because he actually didn't expect to win the election last year.
But he did.
I think Nick Clegg was expected to come over the horizon and rescue him. And he didn't, because he wasn't there to help him then, of course.
But we had the vote, and we have a decision. Let's see what happens next. Let's see if we're going to have this wave of referendums, and is this the sort of party politics and the politics of the country to see?
It's something that I feel, and I think you'll reflect this from the comments I've made previously. The ethnic community in this country has a big part to play. It's a big part because the world that's out there, a large part of it, is actually their history.
Yes.
And it's a co-history with this country, and I think it's very important that we learn to work as two communities.
And amazingly, David, last comment, or in terms of what I'd like you to sort of reflect on, is that the role that they played, quite rightly you said, many people from the minority ethnic communities, from those communities, did vote to leave the EU.
They did. It was reflected in the phone calls that I had here on the programmes that I attended.
And that was
much
very
to
surprising.
The shock, particularly to Afzal Khan, who was assumed.
And I think much to the shock of perhaps the Leave campaign as well, because in terms of immigration and some of the comments that were being made.
Indeed, and I think the problem is that many of the people at the top of these campaigns actually don't or didn't do what I was doing, which is talk to the real people.
Thank you.
Once you start talking in a political bubble, you lose.
Yes. And on that note, thank you very much again. It is wonderful to see you. I hope that you can move it forward. We will have the Remain camp tomorrow.
Yes.
So they'll be coming in tomorrow. Do tune in.
You'll need to provide some tissues. That's my only concern.
I certainly will, if the need be. But I hope I'm gentle enough so that they're not.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
As always.
As always. Thank you very much.
Salam.